We have Ben Sims here today to kind of just chat on the podcast. And we've been hanging out for the last couple of days, had quite a bit of fun on a little trip up to Minnesota, which I'm sure you'll be seeing on video at some point. Maybe you've already seen it. It depends on when we put this out. But So, we're just going to go through Ben's story a little bit, where he grew up, how he got into the YouTube thing and all that. And so let's start back at the beginning. You are obviously here from Australia, but was born in New Zealand for a bit.
Correct, sir. So I was born in New Zealand back in the early 90s. This is getting a bit too full on. But and I moved over to Australia when I was like 5 or 6. So I don't have a New Zealand accent or Kiwi accent, as we call it, like at all. I basically just sound like an Australian, but I have a New Zealand passport.
And that, we can get to that little story if I hear it, it comes in handy. But is there any, for us, those of us that are obviously not very educated on the rest of the world, as I always say, as Americans, but is there any main differences kind of between New Zealand and Australia?
Not really, man. Like, New Zealand's just a smaller country.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing. We're sort of tied in together. I mean, there's differences, like, obviously the culture and the way they do things, but, like, it's pretty, we're sort of like, it's almost like a sister country, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. we have our jokes, like our rivalries, but
yeah.
we're pretty much just like a sister country.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then what was the reason that your parents, obviously, when you were little, decided to move to Australia? Was it a work thing or...?
So it was a family thing. So my mum's side is from Australia.
Okay.
My dad's side was from New Zealand. So
okay.
it was just really family.
Just to move back there.
Yep, that's all it was.
Okay. So then growing up, were you kind of always right away interested in the whole being outside and in the lawn thing, or was it a different? Because for me, I was not at all.
Yeah. I was the same, man. Like, I loved being outside. I used to play soccer a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I loved playing on grass, but when it came to cutting grass, I would avoid it.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. Like, I remember Dad asked me to mow the lawn once when I was about 12, and I was just, this sucks, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, I hated it.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, but, yeah. It grew on me over time, mostly because when I started work at the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I was very much the same. I just didn't like being outside in the hot weather, so I was always sitting inside, like, playing music or something, and was just not an outside kid until later on, so... It's interesting how that works, though.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you become like, now it's your job to be outside all the time.
And you love it now, but yeah. I was the same. I was sort of a half-half kid, so like, I was learning to music as well,
mm-hmm.
into like bands and stuff. So I did love being inside, playing video games and stuff, but I had the sport aspect, I guess, as well, which mm-hmm. is why I sort of was half-half. But when I was a kid, I'd probably, it would have been 50-50, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hate outdoors, but I didn't always want to be out there.
Yeah. And I did play a lot of sports, too, but... It was kind of like, I got to that age, like later on, where I just, you've seen me, not a big guy here. So I was like, sports, everybody got big, and I did not. And I'm like, no, I can't play football. No, I can't do these things. So I don't know for you. I mean, we're about the same size, but.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We're pretty much exactly the same size.
Yeah. So then you were doing some music stuff. Did that start right away? Like, did you start lessons and things when you were a kid?
So I started off playing piano when I was about 7, and I did that for a few years, and I got sick of it because I got made to practice. It's funny, when you pick up an instrument and you get made to do something, you don't get that keen on it.
Yep.
So I did that for a couple of years, gave up on that, and I didn't read music, I just used to listen by ear and used to figure it out and pretend that I could read music.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing a Steadfits and stuff, and they'd put the music up on the piano, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm reading this, and pretend to flip the page when I knew the next note came.
Yeah.
So that's what I used to do, but I gave up on that when I was about, I would have been 10 or something like that. And I didn't get back into playing music until I think I was 16.
Okay.
So I didn't play guitar till I was 16, but I always took music class, and I used to love mm-hmm. like music. Like, I would listen to music all the time, but I didn't really get into it and pick up a guitar again until, well, how I actually picked it up was, I needed someone to sing for a school project, and I was like, I'll give it a go. So I just sung, and then I learned guitar for that song.
Okay.
And that's sort of how the passion grew from there.
Okay.
Mm.
So you didn't have any traditional lessons in like the guitar side of things either?
No, that was all self-taught. So Dr. Google was a big help.
Yep. I did the same thing. I started actually with learning tab and doing that way because I was like, I don't know the notes. I knew theory from piano, but it didn't translate to my brain of looking at the strings and all that.
I was exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I couldn't learn a song with that tab when I first started.
Yep. Mm. That was basically exactly the same. So something that other people might not know about you is that you have an identical twin. And I remember the first time I was watching one of your videos, and then I think your brother was in it, and I was like, oh, wait a second. What is- I didn't know it because you hadn't really talked about it. Yeah, it was true. Just like, oh, and then I was like, oh, okay, you figure it out rather quickly, but it is kind of a shock at first.
Yeah, so we're identical. So he was born 10 minutes before me. And the funny thing is that we both work on the golf course as well. So he had the job first, and then he got me a job. And so, yeah, it's a bit funny. But with that video, yeah, I didn't even say to anyone, he's my twin. Yeah. I sort of just flipped the camera around, and then he... And people thought it was an editing trick, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of... I thought about it for a second, and I was like, is he, like, trying to do clone himself or something? And then, no, it was...
It was my brother.
Yeah, you're like, no, I have a twin. And I'm like, okay. So... Let's talk about your kind of background and how you got to that, to the golf world and the turf world and all of that. So did you do any schooling going that route, or were you going to school for something else, or what was kind of your plan as far as what you wanted to do for career-wise?
So when I left school, I was planning to go, we call it university in Australia, which I think you guys call college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was planning to become a music teacher, actually, or I was going to go into audio engineering.
Okay.
But then I got married pretty young, so... That sort of went away because my wife went to university and became a teacher. So I was sort of, you know, earning the income. And so I worked in, first off, I worked in a vineyard, like looking after grapes. It was only for about 6 months. And then from there, I worked in a phone shop, and I was managing up in a phone shop there, which is not my cup of tea.
Like, yeah.
Not my favorite thing to do. Like I enjoyed the people, but... Yeah, no, I don't like it when people yell at you. And I had some people threaten me with knives, and there was some crazy stuff involved. Don't get into customer service.
yeah.
No, but anyway. And then my brother said, oh, there's a job coming up, and we call it an apprenticeship. So you sort of do on-the-job training, and then you also do a degree one day a week. So that's what happened there. So I went into that just because the job was there. And I love the outdoors. So I was like, cool, let's try this out. And it basically just happened from there.
Okay. But your brother had started that before you then?
Yep. So he'd been doing it for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
Before I had.
And he was doing that same like apprentice thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Cool. So how did he, I mean, you might be able to answer, but kind of have that avenue of interest right away? Did you have that, or you were just kind of like, well, because he's doing it, I guess I'll go down that road too?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wasn't looking to get into a job involved with grass. Like, it's just sort of the job came up. So I went, oh, cool, I'll jump on board. My brother said he likes it, so I took it on.
So then how long have you been in that, like, in the golf world now? I mean, you're just, we'll talk about that in a second. You're kind of switching to the YouTube thing, but...
Yeah, so it's nearly 10 years. I think it's like 8.5 years.
And you were actually then with your brother doing the super job at the course you were working at for how long?
So we have shared the role of like superintendent for about, it's only a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. It's only towards the end.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Mm. So you started YouTube, let's see, probably about a year after I did or so.
Like, yeah. So I think my first video I uploaded on the 28th of May.
You know the date.
2017. I think it's the 28th. It might be the 25th, but okay. I know it's the end of May.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you remember what that first video was about?
I do. I think it was a DIY striping kit.
Okay, that's I've seen that one. Yeah,
that was my first video. I don't know why I chose to do that video first. I think because I made up a little concept design for a striping kit to put on the back of my, because I used to have a rotary mower, and I wanted to do stripes, and I was like, how am I going to do this? I'll just do a little DIY striping kit, and that was my first video.
Yep. I remember mine. It was like... It was just kind of an intro to my backyard, and I just had my cell phone, and I was like, didn't really want to talk on camera. So you kind of like show things, but you're on the backside like talking, so your face isn't on there. And I remember I was like, yeah, I'm having a thatch issue that I need to be like, it's so bad. Like, I can't watch it, but
I'll have to watch it because I don't think I've seen it. Is it still there?
I'm sure it is somewhere.
We're going to find that.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun.
Someone will probably now be going to look at that and I'll be like, no, don't, please.
But yeah, don't look at my first video because it's probably worse than yours.
Yeah.
I was a shy boy.
I was, and that was the thing at the beginning was I had no idea what I was doing or where it was going. I didn't think of it as anything serious. I was just like, oh, I like to be in the lawn and I need to fix my lawn. That was really, when people asked me how it started, it was like, I have this lawn that just like everybody else I just moved into. I need to learn how to improve it. And so I might as well make some videos along the way, and maybe some other people will learn some stuff. And then over time, it just gets crazier and crazier. And then you start to make it entertaining and camera work and all that stuff.
You have some fun with it. Mine sort of started a bit differently. Mine was, I always intended to educate because I always wanted to be a teacher. Like I always wanted to be a music teacher or something because I was a I was a guitar teacher for a few years. So I did enjoy the educating side of it. So that's how I started, but I didn't intend to make a, you know, a career out of it or make money off it.
Yeah.
Like the first thing I said when I started to my wife was, it'd be pretty cool if I get like one free bag of fertilizer here and there just to, you know, use in my yard. And that was my intention. Like it was just to, like an outlet, a creative outlet for me. That's what the biggest thing was.
Yeah. The same for me, because I had kind of stopped my music stuff at that point and I was looking for something else to continue to learn, like learn some new skill that was creative as well.
Yeah.
That was exactly the same thing for me, because I had never made a video in my life at that point. Not even...
Either did I, actually.
No.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Did you spend any time then starting to learn that side of it, or kind of get interested on the video side too, as far as like
education?
Yeah,
like learning more about grass.
Yeah
So I did actually dive more in depth into doing research, and I bought a couple of books and did quite a few like university studies. Like I didn't go to university, but you can find a lot of information online, and they post a lot of articles. So I was just, every afternoon I get home and I'd read something, and then I'd get a podcast out and I would just listen to what, like, everything it was. Yeah, I remember even, you know, you can select web pages on Google and you can make it speak.
Yeah.
I would do that while I was on the golf course, and I would just play it over and over in my ear. Like, that's just constantly what I would do.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing during, like, off-season time and stuff too, is just trying to research different things that I don't know about, especially here we have so many, you know, warm season to cool season, and I've never lived in those regions, so I'm trying to learn things.
And, and it's like a bottomless pit. Like, you can learn so much, and everyone has a different opinion too on the topics. And like, like you talk about top dressing with sand, and then, you know, soil. Like, you can just get, it can get pretty insane.
Yeah,
people get passionate.
They do.
But like, there's so many variables. Like, you got to realize you can do things differently, and it's still going to work. But yeah, but it's, that's why it's good to be educated, so you're backed up in those areas as well.
Yeah, because it does get kind of serious. I mean, as far as hopefully the information that you're giving, once your audience is growing too, is like, you want to make sure you're feeling confident that you're telling people the right stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So your brother's going to continue to work in the golf, or on the golf course, for a while, right?
Yeah, he'll stick there. Yeah. And he enjoys the job. Like, and the thing is, I loved that job as well. Like, I wouldn't have left if this thing wasn't getting so big, like, because, like, it's an enjoyable job. Like, it's really, really enjoyable. It's just, you know, you got longer hours, especially over the summer. There's a lot more time involved, so it takes a little bit away from family. But, like, it's still, like, it's an awesome job. You're working on grass day in, day out.
Yep.
And if you're like us and you love grass, then, you know, you can relate.
Yeah, and it's finely manicured everything, too, so it's, like, high-end stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So Ben is just moving to full-time YouTube, actually just before he came over to this trip. So what's something that you're looking forward to the most with that, you think, kind of working for yourself and all that?
There's a few things, but one of the main things is more family time, because I've got three very young kids, so a lot more time for family. Instead of working, like, you know, a job at the golf course and then technically working a second job, even though it doesn't feel like a job, it still technically takes time away from things. So that's one thing. And then obviously working for myself will be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I've got the freedom to, you know, if I want to go to someone's house and film a video, like, at the other end of the country, you know what I mean? I've got the opportunity to do that because I'm not restricted by another job.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm most excited about that. And then just filming videos all the time and editing, and like, I love that side of it. So I'm looking
and forward. your trip here, what do you think? I mean, you've seen so many different things now, but there's a few things you could kind of point out as either cool or very different than what you're used to. Is there anything you kind of stick in your mind so far?
Like I said, you early, like, trucks, like, we call them utes in Australia, but like, the cars are huge over here.
Yeah.
They are massive, but things like, just the landscape sticks out. Like, it's just very, Like, it's so different from state to state. Like, mm-hmm. it really blows my mind. Like, even when I came to the country into San Francisco and then we flew over Utah, I was just like, what the crap?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it looks crazy. And yeah. then I went to Florida with Alan next, and like, that's just like a whole different world again.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming into like Kentucky and Louisville, I'm going to pronounce that wrong for the guys that, how do they say it?
Louisville. Yeah, yeah. I'm not good at it either because I'm not from that region, but...
But yeah, and like just, it's just so different. Like the similarities, like this sort of area does look quite similar to where I live because mm-hmm. I'm in a cooler part, but it still is, like, it's cold today, man. Like, it's like my winter temperatures at the moment and we're in, what, autumn? Yep. What do you guys call it, fall?
Yep.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today would not be, I wouldn't consider it, like, extremely cold. It's definitely rainy and cool outside, so it has that feel, but... It's not. I think I right before I turned off the TV, it said it was like 50. So I'm like, that's not that bad.
And that's like, I think in Australia, that's about 13 degrees. Around there somewhere anyway.
Yeah.
About 13. So yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold for us.
He's gotten very good as well at all of these conversions on the fly. And I'm trying. I'm getting slightly better where I'll be like, oh, I need to convert that for you. And you'll be like, no, I got it.
Yeah, I sort of. I'm estimating, so I could be like five degrees off, but it's close enough.
Yeah.
But it is hard. Like, I struggle when it comes to pounds and... You guys are in the past. Oops, just move the camera.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We have to be different. You know how it goes.
I do.
He and I know all about sissy grass. And
put on your corner.
But something interesting that they might not know is that you kind of work on almost all, like, warm season types, cool season types. Yep. What's been the challenges of obviously learning all of those, but anything else you want to kind of touch on about? There's different names in Australia, too, but...
For all the grass types, yeah. So what do you mean, like, what?
As far as, like, the challenges of learning all of those and the different types you have to... What do you all have at the golf course, pretty much?
So the golf course, we on their golf greens, we use bent grass, which is pretty common over here as well mm-hmm. in your cooler climates. Now, that grass is a pain to look after because it is so temperamental. Like, we were talking about earlier today, or today or last night, I don't know, every day seems to blend together.
Yeah.
But, like, you can walk away from that grass for a day in the middle of summer and it will just... It'll absolutely flip on its head and you can basically lose half of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And that's from dryness?
Yeah, yeah. From when it's dry. Because mm-hmm. you're cutting so short, like we'd say we cut our golf greens at about 3 to 4 mil, which I think is about, it's under 0.1.
Yeah.
I think it's really short anyway. Like it's ridiculously short. I don't even know what the conversion would be. I should have had it sitting here. But like, yeah, because you're cutting so short, like the amount of water those greens take is ridiculous. Plus, you're working with sand.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the water just drops straight through. So, I think the biggest challenge I had over the years working on the golf course would be working with bent grass and then trying to control poa,
mm-hmm.
which we also call winter grass in Australia. And then it comes, we had a bowling green, which was, you guys call it Bermuda. We call it Cooch. every time I say that now.
Now you're going to have a hard time.
Is this going to get demonetized?
Yeah, no.
Anyway, so we cut that grass. Ooh, it's like sometimes very close to 1 millimeter, which we say is about the thickness. We can get it down to the thickness of a 5-cent piece.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like a coin.
It's like a coin width, yeah, which is really, really short. And I tell you what, that grass is a lot easier to look after than, say, your cool season grasses
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you can let that stuff, like, go dry as, and it will still come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's insane. And the amount of traffic you can put on that grass. And, I mean, ours is really starting to struggle over there at the moment, our bowling green, which is the Cooch grass, because it's got so much traffic on it. But you can get it to bounce back like crazy. I remember at home I had some, and I sprayed it with Roundup, like, 3 or 4 times, and it came back.
Yeah.
Like, it is insane. I mean, some people say that, that grass type is a little bit harder because it can get thatchy and it creeps into your garden beds. But if you know how to maintain it,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty straightforward and easy. Yep.
So at home, you used to have, I mean, if you go back on his channel, you'll see you used to have tall fescue.
Yuck.
And then you switched to the ryegrass. What was your thinking behind that or maybe why you like that type of grass?
Cool. So I originally had tall fescue because we didn't really have any on the golf course. And so I like to learn about different grass types and how they work, mm-hmm. you know, sort of. It's good to get an idea on how they all work if you're trying to give advice to people on grass, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if I had no experience, then, you know. So I had that at home. I tried cutting it tall and, like, it was nice. Like, it did look really nice and you got some cool stripes, but it just walking on it, it was quite harsh and a little bit, yep. like my kids used to get inside and then have a rash on their legs and, you know, it was yep. just, it was just the way it was and it was just a little bit long for my liking. So I got rid of that, did a renovation and put in the rye because I wanted to get a real mower
mm-hmm.
and cut nice and short. And like, you know, I thought rye was a bit of a challenge and I really liked rye because, like, I watch a bit of golf and I really like Augusta National. And so that was sort of my reasoning behind going to that. And originally I was planning to take it down really, really low, and I still plan to, but in Australia we've got pretty high water restrictions at the moment, mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm going to bring it up a bit higher this season. But, yeah, it's just, it's a good challenge.
What's your, when you say a little bit higher, what's kind of your range that you're hoping to keep it at this year?
So about half an inch.
Half an inch.
So it's still pretty short.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I kept it at last season. In summer, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have much issue with it dying off. Like, you have to hand water some parts that are close to concrete or yep. towards the house, but, like, it was good.
Yeah. Mm. And your climate is more, I guess if we would compare it to somewhere over here, you're at slightly more elevation, so it's probably, and it's a little drier too.
It is a little drier, so yep. I'd say we don't have any humidity where I am, and I'd say it gets up to about 100 degrees.
Okay.
Which is like 35 degrees.
Yeah.
And that's like the top of it, you know what I mean? We won't get any, that's a heat wave for us.
Yeah.
So we know, we sit more in the 90s, which is around about low 30s for us.
Right.
Yeah, in Australia. So ryegrass is fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Say if you tried to grow like ryegrass in Florida or something, like it's just not.
Yeah.
It's not possible. You could probably do it, but you'd be watering it every day and then it would get disease and then it would, you know. So it's perfect for my climate.
Yeah.
Whereas most of Australia, you couldn't.
Right.
You couldn't use it.
Because it's very, very hot in some of the other regions, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets really hot. 110.
Yeah.
Or some places get 120.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of projects do you have working or coming up? You're getting into your actual spring season, which is kind of also a different thing that we always have to think about. Like, oh, it's completely different month to month as far as that goes. But
yep.
So what kind of projects you have coming up this year for people who are going to be sitting in winter and watching your channel while we look at nothing but brown?
I'm getting jealous.
Yeah.
So I've recently just got some Tiff Tough Bermuda. Tiff Tough Cooch, whatever you want to call it, down just like a, it's not a very big area. Like, I'd say it's 50 square meters. I would say for you guys, it would be, how do I even convert that? Maybe 500 square feet.
Okay.
Is that pretty small?
Yeah, that's pretty small. Like that little section up by the street is like 400 for
yeah.
me.
So it's going to be about, it's very similar size to yep. that section. So, yeah, I've just got that down the side there and I'm planning to show people how to get it down to golf green height. So okay. I'm going to treat it a lot like a golf green. It's going to involve like grooming it pretty often, cutting it like every single day, which is good because it's such a small area. Yep. So it'll be fine, which is good going full time as well because I'll have time to actually get out there
yep.
and do that as well. So, and I'm planning to like make it an actual putting green. So I'll put a cup in there.
Oh,
and,
that'd be cool. You know, yeah.
I'll have some fun with it. So it'll be good.
Yeah. It'd be very cool. And you've been working on your brother's Kentucky bluegrass a little bit, so that'll continue this year.
Yeah, so I'll do that as well. So that will be good for people to see because bluegrass isn't that common in Australia either. It's starting to pick up a little bit now, but it's mostly getting like imported from over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of it comes from. So there's not many climates. Well, there's still quite a few climates that use it, but just when people think of Australia, they think it's really hot.
Yeah.
And yeah, and they have warm season grass. But yeah, so we'll continue with that because we've had to fix it up quite a bit. It's been a huge project, but it's been good fun.
Yeah. If you haven't seen that or haven't seen some kind of what's going on the channel, that would be a good series to go watch because you guys did some extensive things with like soil work there and pulling out tons of rocks and crazy stuff and then doing all the irrigation. And
it was insane, man. But it'll be worth it. Like, it's already starting to look awesome at the moment, like it's flipped so much. And that's what I love about bluegrass too, is how it repairs.
Yeah.
Like, It is insane. Yep. But yeah, we've got that project. I'm hoping, I've got another guy across the street which has a warm season grass as well, which mm-hmm. we call Kaikuyu. I'm going to hope to get some content on that this year. It's hard because we're in a bit of a drought. So not everyone can water their lawns. Yep. So you need either a water tank
mm-hmm.
or like a well. I think you guys call it, we call it a bore.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to find someone else that has, we call it Buffalo and you guys call it St. Augustine. So mm-hmm. I'm going to try to find someone that has that in my area as well. So yep. I've got heaps of things planned. Like I've got even a lot more things, but we'd spend too long talking about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited though. That's why I'm so excited to go full time because I can do all these little projects that I've been wanting to do for so long.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So I think I mentioned it earlier here, so we should touch on it because I did say we would talk about your passport story. So talking about St. Augustine first, you can say that, you know, you were down at Alan's house before this and kind of got to mow down there and you got to experience the Florida humidity, although it's not summer there, it is still
disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my favorite sort of weather.
Yeah.
It's yuck. I was a sweaty boy, I'll tell you what.
So you had that, but yeah, then you were going to the airport and lost a passport somehow.
Man. Not fun. I don't know where the passport went, to be honest. Misplaced it. That's what the people in the airline told me to say, just so that, you know,
uh-huh.
you didn't lose it, because I don't know, it's some thing they go on about. But, yeah, so I went to the airport to fly to Kentucky, and then I went to scan it, and it wasn't there. And I was like, where's my passport? So I was flying through all my bags. Uh-huh. Alan's sitting there going, what is this guy doing? No, he was all right. He was really good. I really appreciate Alan and how much he really helped out in that situation. So we ended up having to go back to Alan's house to look for it, and it wasn't at Alan's house. Went back to the hotel. It wasn't there, and then we were like, crap. Like, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up ringing up the – because I'm actually a New Zealand citizen still. Oh, thanks. so, yeah, I called the New Zealand embassy because I'm a New Zealand citizen, and they said, I don't know what to do. And I was like, what? You guys are supposed to know what to do.
Yeah.
The New Zealand Embassy in the United States in Washington. And so I ended up having to call the New Zealand Passport Agency.
Wouldn't you think that would be a normal question too? Like,
yeah.
Like if anyone traveled here and something like that happened, they would be, that would be a normal question in my mind.
Yeah, 100%. And they had no idea. It's like I was like a foreign guy just asking silly questions. I was like, come on, guys. Anyway, so I called up the New Zealand passport guys and they were awesome. They said to me, yep, we'll speed up your process. So I put in an application online that afternoon and they sent the passport that day and it arrived at Jeremy's house in Utah because
mm-hmm.
that's where I'll be stopping next. In like 3 days.
Like, no, it's insane. That's crazy. I don't know the ins and outs of passports here in America, but I don't think that our system would be even remotely that close.
Like
they'd
that.
Be like, no, we don't care. It's going to be like 3 weeks.
Yeah, so. Which is awesome because I would have been stuck in the country. Would have been stuck with Connor. Sucked in, boy.
That would have been pretty good, actually.
But it's supposed to be snowing up there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
You really never have experienced that kind of like snowstorm or anything like that. You guys get a little bit of snow, but nothing.
Yeah, so if we got an inch of snow, we would be like, it's Christmas time. Like it would be crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So well, I think we got snow like 4 months ago and it wasn't even an inch. It was like, it was nothing.
Yeah.
But we thought it was amazing.
So everything's like, oh, close down everything. Don't drive anywhere.
There was roads closed.
Yeah.
Yep, in that sort of snow.
Yeah.
And you were telling me like, it has to be like couple of feet deep for it to be snow.
I mean, here it would be at least, I don't know, we like 4 to 6 inches of snow. We're just kind of like, yeah, go a little slower and just don't go do anything crazy. But
no, I'd be scared. I'd be crying.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Mm. So after this, you're going to Connor's and you're going out to Jeremy's, as you said, probably really looking forward to Utah, although it is a bit cold there, so the grass probably won't look the greatest, but just to see that, it should be really cool.
Yeah, I'm just keen to see the landscape. That's like one thing as I said before, I'm just surprised how different it is. But it'd be cool just to experience Utah.
Because
it looks, even from all the pictures I've seen,
yeah.
when you went up there for your video, like your little vlog.
Yep.
Like, it just looks awesome, man.
Yeah, and I want to go to the southern part sometime, which is from all the things I've seen of there, it honestly looks like Mars. It's like a different...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very
And that's
red
where I flew over, I think, when I was flying over on the plane, because I looked outside and I was like, whoa. Like, yeah. It just... Yeah, it's insane.
Yep. Hmm. So here we're going to try to go out, see some cornfields, the usual stuff here in Iowa, but it's very... I mean, I guess for some people... Seeing that many fields, too, like all the way across the landscape is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's different, and it'll be cool to get the drone up, too, and just get a nice shot over top. No, I think it's still a beautiful country out here.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's flat, like, it's just,
yeah,
you know what, it's different. Like, it's cool. Very different to it. Like, it's similar in ways to Australia because Australia has a lot of flat areas, especially out where I live. Well, apart from in my town, but outside of my town, it's very similar. But it's crazy to see... how many fields there are, like, with farms. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yep. Yeah, that'll be good. I'm going to try to take him out into the... drive around some of the country, and we'll just see what we find. But
that'd be good.
Was there anything else from GIE, like, that you saw there that was kind of cool? Or, I mean, we just... We didn't... I don't know. The hard thing about GIE is that it's so big, so many, like, cool things, and... Yes, it's awesome for homeowners to go there too, but it's a lot of pro stuff.
Yeah.
So I think more for me, I usually just, I'm there because I see so many friends and new people that...
Yeah, that's the thing I think I enjoyed the most from going there was meeting guys, especially guys you see on YouTube. Like, it was so odd to meet people in person.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy. And how you feel like you know each other as well. Like, I feel like I knew you before.
Exactly.
You know, we met up.
It is very much... Anytime I've had a meetup or anything like that, when people come and talk to you, they just, it does feel like you've already met the person. But the same for us, even though we make the videos.
Yeah.
Like when I met you, I was just like, oh, hey, Ben. Yeah. We're like, oh, just we're like friends forever. So
it's so weird. But I did, it was cool though, just to see all of the equipment. And there's so many companies like that I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like even some of the machinery, I'm like, what would you even use that for?
Yeah.
It's insane. But I really like the Club Cadet reel mowers they had. They were like awesome, man. I'd love to try one of those out.
That's the only, I think it's the only reel mower they had there, except there was another, the California Trimmer, like homeowner version. They did have one there, but I was walking around with Connor when we went outside to the demo area and we went over to the Toro people and he goes, where's your reel mowers at? And they're like, well, this isn't like a convention for that. And he was like, well, I wanted to see one, you know.
Get me one now.
Yeah. You know, typical how he is. So, so you also have, as part of your business stuff that you're doing now with YouTube, it's not only making videos, but you're helping people that want to learn with plans and giving them custom advice and stuff like that. So if anyone is interested in that, how do they kind of get to that info and work with you?
So easiest way is just like jump on my website. That's the easiest way to do it. And then I have a couple of sections in the shop, which are like plans and consultation. And so people normally just jump through there and I do like a customized lawn plan. Mm-hmm. So it basically just gives people a plan for the whole year, I guess. And you can use it year after year if you like. Depends. But normally after people have used it for a year, they get a pretty good grasp of what they need to do.
Right.
And they can sort of go forward from that. But like it's everything from like when to fertilize, when to do lawn renovations. You can seed if you want to, what chemicals to mix with other chemicals. Like, it's all that sort of stuff. And I do it a little bit in the States. I've only really just started doing it, but it's a little bit bigger in Australia because over here is crazy, all the climates.
Yeah.
Like, and there's so many microclimates. So, like, you know, it takes a little while to do, but I do it. But, yeah, I enjoy doing it, though. Like, I love seeing the turnaround from people's lawns. Like, I always get people to send me a before and after, like 12 months after they've been on it. And I just love to see the results on that. That's the biggest reason I do it is because,
And that's lawntips.net?
Lawntips.net. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any difficulties at all ever with the fact you can't be there in person and like see the lawn and do any of that? Or is it just kind of like, well, I know the general type and what's kind of going on, so...
Yeah, I can normally do most things. Sometimes it's hard to identify weeds.
Yeah.
Because you need to see like a 3D picture of a, or a 3D, like a weed out there. Like it's hard to see something from a photo. Then you need to see the roots, you need to see this. So the hardest thing is identifying weeds, and sometimes even grass types are really hard to identify. But generally I can figure it out if you send me the right photos. It just normally takes sometimes 3 or 4 emails.
Right.
Until I get the right photo in the end. But you can do it. But When just looking at photos of lawns, I can normally assess them pretty quickly and figure out what issues are wrong with it, especially if people do a soil test and, you know, do that sort of thing. It's pretty easy. Like, I've done like 600, 700 plans now. So I've done a lot of lawn plans. So you tend to run into the same problems when it comes to homeowners. There hasn't really been one yet that's stumped me. And one that did stump me once, he couldn't grow grass in one area, and we found that his pH was like nearly at 10. Like it was, it was like 9 or something like that. So it was just really sick. So we sorted that out. You know, we did some organic top dressing, and we added, we got this product overseas called Anti-Alk, which helps bring down your pH. Like there's a couple of products you can use, and we fixed it slowly over time. But yeah, there's been nothing huge that stumped me, which is good. It's cool how you can do video calls and phone calls and send pictures, and you can really, it's almost like you're there.
Yeah, that's cool. I've been thinking, you know, looking at some of those things too, but I always get a lot of pictures from people, and sometimes I'm just like, I can't tell
what it is. Yeah, and I'm like that too sometimes, and that's when I ask for 10 different angles of something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it normally helps. And if that doesn't help, I say, do a video. Let's do a Skype call or a FaceTime call. Like you do as many things as you can till you get to that point.
Right.
Mm.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to your season coming up and watching some things while it's snowy here and kind of wishing I was doing that. But I've had a blast, you know, hanging out with you the last couple of days. We had some good trip, and hopefully tomorrow it will be a little nicer so we can go out and film some stuff. But appreciate you sitting down with me and chatting here. So
no worries, thanks so much.
Yep. Well, talk to you all later.
Bye.